Well, greetings once again to everyone out there listening. It is another Wednesday this time, not Thursday, so a special date, but the same time for our weekly Access to Access webinar. You know the deal. This gives you the chance to interact and pose questions in real time to some of the biggest movers and shakers out there. And in the media world, man, we have a mover and shaker. That's the right way to describe you, isn't it, Greg?
I'm a guy that got let out of my contract at CNN and blackballed by the rest of the MSM. So I don't know. Maybe
I think that counts. If you don't recognize that voice already, that's Greg Hunter, who is a long, glorious, distinguished career as a mainstream media investigative reporter and reporter with ABC News, CNN, and the like. But as he just mentioned, blackballed. But now, probably, you know, sometimes, Greg, those things happen for a reason. Now he runs the very successful website USA Watchdog, and he is a tireless advocate for all of us, not only in sound money, but for financial reform and just exposing the fraud and corruption that's out there. So I thought it'd be fun with the election behind us and with the mainstream media's, I guess we'll call it credibility, maybe irreparably damaged. I thought it'd be fun to kind of pick Greg's brain a little bit. So, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for being on. The mainstream media doubling down on the idiocy of their propaganda and mind control, thought shaping. You know, they didn't get it wrong. They meant to get it wrong. They meant to get it wrong. Now, they even fooled some of their own people, but they meant to get it wrong.
Well,
they were trying to show that Hillary was so far ahead, you shouldn't even go out. As is what I think. You know, the polling was intentionally wrong. I said that from the beginning, the polls were phony. There was all kinds of metrics to show it was phony. I mean, they say, well, you know, his crowds doesn't really correspond to. Oh, really? Well, how about Twitter? How about Instagram? How about you know, searches? How about views? And they were so they were orders of magnitude lopsided. Cliff High so nicely put out a half-assed human. You know, I was interviewing him just before the election. He says, well, for example, this is pretty crude, but it's data. And, you know, if you look at the speech that the Trump campaign, not Bob or John or Mary or somebody on the internet who put a speech out, I mean, just their Trump campaign and how many views they got, the 700-something thousand, and how many views did the Hillary Clinton speech, a speech from Hillary Clinton, how many views from their campaign, how many views, 2,000?
Yeah.
He said it's orders of magnitude. It's off the charts. And so the polling was done over sampling. There was all kinds of stories. I mean, Reuters had one early on, and even the mainstream people, Robert Cadell, was commenting about how they juked the polls. It was just embarrassing and how, you know, CNN and ABC didn't believe their own polls at one point just before the election. Oh, she's up 12 points. And even what's his name, George Stephanopoulos, didn't believe his own polls. Just, well, our poll says up 12 points, but maybe she's up 6 points. I mean, you know, he said that in one of his things. I mean, but the mainstream press is off the charts, and management of mainstream press and the owners of mainstream press are probably realizing now they're going to attack the internet. They're going to attack, Twitter has just let a lot of supposedly alt-right sites, cancel their accounts. Now Google's going to do a crackdown on quote fake news, end quote. So now their thought shaping of the mainstream press didn't work. And they have completely embarrassed themselves. The WikiLeaks have exposed. They didn't cover any of the Project Veritas stories, even though two of the main characters, top Democrat operatives, one of them went to the White House dozens of times and had at least 40 face-to-face meetings with the president, Robert Kramer. They quit after these videos surfaced about fomenting violence and vote rigging and all that, dirty tricks. So, you know, the mainstream press now is, oh, racism. Now, oh, Bannon's an anti-Semite. Really? He worked at Goldman Sachs? Not a good place for an anti-Semite to hang out. Goldman Sachs for 14 years. And then you have Dershowitz Geller, the Geller who was the Muhammad, the chick down in Texas.
Yeah.
Both Jewish, incidentally. And Levin, the great one, the radio host,
right.
All Jews, incidentally. And they're all saying, no, not anti-Semitic. No, Bannon's not anti-Semitic. Jewish people saying that. I'm going to go with the Jewish people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Jewish people saying that he's not anti-Semitic. I'm going to go with that.
So,
I'm going to go with Dershowitz last I checked, was a Jewish and a pretty good lawyer at Harvard.
Yeah.
Says he's not, just because you disagree with his policies doesn't mean he's anti-Semitic.
But again, they're casting.
But now what are they doing? White race, hate, yeah. Anti-Semitism. This is all thought-shaping, false narrative, propaganda type stuff. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
So, Greg, is it worse? I mean, we've all, known about the liberal media, and 92% of them are registered Democrats and all that stuff. I mean, is it worse than it's been? Is it the peak propaganda?
Here's the problem for the mainstream press. Before, it was kind of anecdotal, 92% were Democrats, but what they want you to tell, what their power was, they were fair arbiters of the truth.
Right.
Yeah, well, we're Democrats, but that's not going to get in the way of us telling you the truth. Bull. Is this a closed circuit?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, bullshit. Because that is, they are not fair arbiters of the truth. That's their power. Lester Holt. Oh, Lester Holt will be fair. No, he wasn't in the debates. No,
Martha Raddatz. Martha Raddatz is another one.
I don't need WikiLeaks for this one. Just look at what they did in debates. Raddatz starts debating Trump.
Yeah.
Lester Holt starts debating Trump.
So
I mean, outrageous, and never a question about it. I mean, Hillary got pissed. I gotta give Matt Lauer some props, man, for the presidential forum.
Yeah,
he was on her ass about the email servers. And let me tell you something about this is a huge, this makes Watergate, Bob Woodward ought to get back his Pulitzer. He sat on the set of Fox, and before the election, got 20 people working on Trump stories. Really? You don't have 10 working on Hillary? She had private servers, multiple. She was extremely careless, according to the FBI. She had private servers to cover the fact she was taking treasonous bribes through a global charity fraud called the Clinton Foundation. This is treason.
Yeah, sedition.
This is RICO-type fraud in a global charity fraud. Democrats wanted her to, and I'm not a Republican either, Democrats wanted to wanted her to shut this thing down. Why? Because she was doing so many good things, or because it was fraudulent? Look at the 2014 tax return. What did she give? Less than 6% to actual programs, and everything went to salaries and expenses, and total classic charity fraud. And did mainstream press do anything on that? Oh no, 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 no. How about the president? The president had his own pseudonym conversing with Hillary Clinton, his own private email account, getting around the government email servers, conversing with her from the beginning.
Yep.
That's not a front page story. That's not a story that Josh Earnest ought to be getting pounded with questions on at the White House press secretary. What to leave in? What to leave out? What to leave in? What to leave out? You're being
in Obama.
This is a psyop.
In Obama,
I'm telling you, the mainstream press has turned into a full blown psyop. Thank you, WikiLeaks, for exposing, actually giving us hard evidence of the collusion. The other thing is that none of these people got fired.
Well, no, of course
so
not.
So John Harwood give advice. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and Obama, just in that specific case, is on the record saying he had no idea that she had an email server. That was news to me. We have the email showing him actually communicating with her through the
press. With a fake name.
Yeah. But, Greg, I guess my question before we get to the listener questions and the stuff that's come in, just make a prediction. Where does this head from here? Is it toward censorship of kind of like this soft censorship we're beginning to see in the Google and the Twitter that you just mentioned, that's come out this week? Is it a move toward more heavy-handed, equal time clause or whatever the hell that was back in the 80s? Remember the thing that came down?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think it's still around, though.
Is it a move toward more that heavy-handed nature of the media to try to silence voices, or is it instead just a death of that media? Because
it would have been with Hillary, and this is what I we're going to have economic problems with Donald Trump. That's all there's to it. There's no, because you can't double the national debt in 8 years, and listen, the Republicans helped do that. So we doubled the national debt in 8 years. So it took us, let's see, for the first half of the national debt took us what, 220 something years, and the second half of the national debt only took us 8.
Right.
Talk about a parabolic curve.
Yeah.
So we're going to have major problems. There's no way we're paying this money back. There's no way we're not paying it back, and certainly not paying it back in anything resembling the buying power of a dollar today. So that said, and you know more about this than I do, you're more the economic expert, but all my experts, everybody of which you are one that I've interviewed, all of them are in agreement of this, that, bad financial times, crash, whatever you'd like to call it, is coming. Because at some point, the market, as Greg Mannarino says, will correct the fair market value. And but that said, so number one, with Hillary Clinton, we would have had all the same problems, but full-on tyranny. I mean, she sits with Chris Wallace in the only major interview that she did that I know of and says, you know, there are limits to the Second Amendment. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And, well, and this is the stunner, which is, that's not a stunner. I mean, we all know the Democrats want to take our guns because, you know, when you're stealing people's property, you don't want them armed. But anyway, the other thing was, she said there are limits to the First Amendment. I heard her say this. And why that didn't become huge point of news and contention? Whoa, you got a presidential candidate that says there are limits to the First Amendment, to my right to for religion, speech, assembly, voting. You're kidding me. And that went unchecked. There are limits to the First Amendment.
Yep.
She would have packed the Supreme Court with these ideologue, Marxist, communist, Nazi, whatever you want to, progressive. Yeah, let's call them what they are, communist, progressive. Let's make a nice word for something that's ugly. And so she would have packed the Supreme Court with the Sotomayors and the Kagans of the world, and everything that she would have done would have been constitutional.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen with Trump, thank God.
Yeah.
So are we going to go do a censorship? No. Are they going to try to self-censor? Yes, and here's the problem for them, technology. They could pull this crap where they think they're king of the world, and technology could do a workaround, and I suspect it will. But, you know, they can't come to your site and shut it down. I mean, you know, they've already – the cat's out of the bag. You know, you can't – it's like taking the Morpheus and what's his Nemo and the red pill and the blue pill. Bam, you take that blue pill, you can go back to sleep. But if you take the red pill – if you take the red pill, you can never return. Hey, listen, if you've taken the red pill, you can't go back to the blue pill.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't go back to the – and look at the mainstream press, this ridiculous – now they're going to triple down with the same stupid people. These are not smart people. These are stupid people because they don't realize they're cutting their own throat. They're going to triple down with another false narrative, racism, Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, the Democrat Party owns slavery. They own it. It's theirs. The Democratic Party owns the Ku Klux Klan. Senator Robert Byrd. The Democratic Party, the socialist, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, admitted to that before she got kicked out for cheating for Hillary and got hired by Hillary. She admitted as socialist. Well, what is the National Socialist Party? What are that more? Nazis.
Right.
So I'm not saying the Democrat Party is Nazis now, but listen, these dirty tricks they were pulling, that Project Veritas, thank you, Project Veritas, exposed. Kramer went to the White House, had 40 face-to-face meetings with the president. He had dozens of meetings at the White House, and he's doing violence and dirty tricks, making it look like Trump supporters are violent. That's a lie. Then you have the supporters of Hillary Clinton with signs out in front of Trump Palace, you know, rape Melania.
Yes.
They're so highbrow.
Yeah.
They're so I can't remember what it was. They're so accommodating.
Oh yes.
They're so reasonable.
They're
tolerant. What was that word?
Tolerant,
yes. Yeah. They're so tolerant one of the things I saw today on Alex Jones is, you know, an anti-Trump supporter gets pushed back down the stairs by a registered Democrat. I mean, you know, this is the dirty tricks that they're doing. Now there's another psyop. And they got these polls wrong because they wanted to.
Right.
They wanted to get them wrong. They wanted to get them wrong. They oversampled Democrats. They didn't sample the right amount of people. I don't know how you could all these Bernie Sanders voters, how you could account for all the Bernie Sanders voters. I mean, Trump won 44 states in the Electoral College. Now the big push is, well, we don't want to have the Electoral College. You know, another researcher said Hillary Clinton, this is on InfoWars, stole as many as five states, the 3 million illegal aliens voting.
or Virginia, where all the registered or the convicted felons were.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
For canceling out the votes of law enforcement that arrested them.
Right.
I mean, the Democrat Party has turned into the party of illegal immigration, of globalism, of Wall Street. That's the person they put up. They cheated to put in the Wall Street candidate. They cheated.
Yeah.
They cheated.
No doubt about it.
I actually heard somebody on Fox. I couldn't believe they said it. Well, you know, Bernie Sanders lost fair and square. No, he did not.
That's propaganda right there. No doubt about it.
No, he did not lose fair and square. And then he's such a weasel that he goes out after talking about the, you know, show us your Wall Street speeches, Hillary Clinton. Then he's out on the campaign trail with her. And what you didn't see was all these Bernie supporters, you know, screaming at him that Sanders was a sellout.
Right.
And now you have, people, you know, protesting Schumer in Washington, going to his office. Maybe, I don't know if it's upstate or in Washington, but anyway, they got real, not paid ones, you know. Yeah. Leslie Stahl was on with Trump. Well, there's all these protests, and Trump says something to the effect as well, they're paid protesters. And Leslie Stahl, again, the image of this truth, right? And Leslie Stahl, they're all paid for? I don't know, Leslie. Why don't you have people on your staff run that down before you try to ask some embarrassing question to thought shape and make it look like all the Trump supporters, all these protests are organic when indeed they're not. They're paid for by George Soros. They're busting them in. They're advertising on Craigslist. Why don't you do your job as a reporter? I know you don't do anything like that. You just go to parties and drink nice champagne and stuff like that, and you have a staff. Then why don't you tell your staff to run that down before you ask, well, are they all paid? I don't know, Leslie. What do you think? Do you think they're all paid? I don't know. Why don't you run that down before you ask that embarrassing question in front of a president-elect?
Oh, Greg.
Are they all? Are you idiot? Are you going to play dumb? I mean, you didn't do your homework, you loser.
No.
Because that's not the narrative that Leslie Stahl,
that's right,
Cruella, wanted to paint.
Thought shaping is the right way to
put it. And remember their power now. Their power is that they have to be fair arbiters of the truth. That's supposedly their power. They pay millions of dollars to project it. They pay her millions of dollars. They pay Lester Holt millions of dollars, when indeed they are not fair arbiters of the truth. Look at all the WikiLeaks, all the collusion. John Harwood, why isn't he fired?
Yeah.
Why aren't the people at the New York Times fired?
Right.
That gave editorial review. Why aren't the people at the Washington Post fired for covering up stories on John Podesta? Why aren't the people at Politico fired for colluding with the Clinton campaign and John Podesta? Why aren't they fired? Management is involved, and I want to take it to the next level. Okay, management should be fired. And here's the next level. And the next level is these are companies that put themselves out in publicly traded companies. Look at the USA Today. Look at the New York Times. You know, they're come out and we're going to start covering. Do you see this thing they put out? That they put out a letter to their readers? We're going to do a better job being fair. But our coverage of the biggest story of the last, I don't know, eight since Reagan, we were fair. We gave the candidates fair coverage. No, you did not, Baghdad Bob. No, you did not. But these are publicly traded companies. And I want to tell you, that they're committing shareholder fraud.
They hold themselves out
as news organizations. They are not fair arbiters of the truth. They are propaganda machines. The reporters are propaganda hacks. They only keep the hacks that will continue their, you know, Katie Tur, that will continue the propaganda, Leslie Stahl. They continue the propaganda. That's what they are, propaganda hacks.
Yeah.
And they are defrauding their shareholders, and they're defrauding their end users or customers. They're defrauding them by false narratives and lies of omission and outright lies. They're defrauding the people using their products.
Well, Greg, I've got about a dozen questions queued up for you.
Fire.
And so I think I might
I'll give shorter answers, hopefully.
Misdirect you at this point. But that was wonderful. I just sat here and just listened. It was great. And I think everybody's going to probably go back and listen and re-listen to everything you've said.
They don't ever want me on a panel with one of these shills. I will burn them to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I worked in their house. I did high-level stuff with the lawyers, standards, legal, all kinds of approval. I know how it works. I will burn them. I will fry them in their shoes.
Yep.
For the fraud they're committing. They're committing fraud.
I wish we could get you on a couple of those panels.
They wouldn't have me on. But right. That's okay. I have USAWatchdog.com.
Well, so we use this GoToWebinar platform so that everybody listening can submit questions. And I've got, like I said, probably at least 10 in queue. But I've also, before we get there, I've got two or three that were emailed to me from folks that couldn't join us. So again, they're going to jump around there and just answer them, I guess, the best you can, and we'll just go from there. First email question came from Gabe, who wants to thank you for all that you do, but also said, you mentioned this earlier about Steve Bannon, executive chairman of Breitbart, conservative documentary filmmaker and former U.S. Navy officer, and now chief White House strategist and senior counsel. How do you view that? And then
second, this is, I'm not surprised. I mean, who helped Donald Trump defeat the mainstream press? People on the alternative media. Why is anybody surprised? He's got a PhD, I think, in physics. He worked at they're trying to call him an anti-Semite. I mean, I'll say it again. He worked at Goldman Sachs for 14 years. Not the kind of place that'd be like David Duke hanging out at Goldman Sachs for 14 years.
Exactly.
That's stupid.
Well, here's the second part of that question. Do you see this as Trump's plan to deprive the mainstream media of their monopoly to continue to spin their facts to fit the less progressive message? And will this serve to call them out in the light of day for all the Soros shills that they are and maybe hasten their demise?
I think they're going to be called out. And what's hastening their demise? Let me tell you what else is hastening their demise. Okay, in my wildest dream, I would never go back. Number one, I would never go back. Period. I would not go back. They would have to offer me so much stuff. Then I'd want to keep all my stuff. Then I want to be able to promote USA Watchdog on the air. Okay,
right.
That's what I own.
Right.
But I would never go back. But never in their wildest dreams would they think somebody like me, I was a self-funder, I funded my own stuff, I knew how to do the journalism, I didn't make diddly squat for 4.5 years, I'm not Mr. Fat Pants Rich, I'm not, Breitbart, but I can pay the bills, okay, I'm solvent. And part of the reason why is because I don't have any debt, but that's a big part, and I had savings. And so I worked for 4.5 years. I mean, nothing. I mean, really nothing. But never in their wildest dreams would they have. And now my YouTube channel which is not as big as, Mark Dice, who's a great guy. I think he's smart, funny. I love watching his stuff. But I got 86,000 subscribers. I've got 34 million video views since June of 12. Some of my views get 50, 80, 100, 200,000. I just had Jim Rickards on, and in a week he got 100,000 views. And that, you know what they tell me? They tell me that's better than CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, Five. That's better than the cable numbers.
You bet.
Never in their wildest dreams would they ever think that this something like this would happen. And yet it is. And now when you put out BS on the air and you have people like me criticizing Leslie Stahl's interview of Donald Trump, she should have had, this thing with the reason why she asked that question about the protesters that, what she wants you to think, which is a lie, is that it's organic.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there's just so many people upset. Well, if you look at the helicopter shots and stuff like that, I mean, it's a few hundred, it's a few thousand. Yeah, so.
They're all bussed in from out of state.
They're bussed in. Oh, yeah, there's evidence of that. They got pictures of it.
Hey,
they're on Craigslist advertising for protesters.
Was Leslie wearing purple?
And then we know Project Veritas, the dirty tricks they did, they were exposed to people doing it, laid out their deal.
And
paying for this.
Was Leslie wearing purple in that interview? I didn't get a chance to look.
That's funny. Yeah, okay. They're trying to rebrand themselves to Clintons.
To
be in the middle, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rebrand themselves to be in the middle. Another scam, another thought-shaping scam. How you could put up a treasonous criminal. Somebody used private servers to collect treasonous bribes through a RICO operation called the Clinton Foundation. I have no idea why they would ever put somebody up like that, a criminal.
Right.
It makes Watergate look like me sticking gum in your hair on the playground when we were 10, Craig. I mean, you should have done that. That was kind of mean. Let me get a scissors here. Let's cut that out. We're done. Good. Thank you.
Here's a follow-up question, kind of fits in with the next question, fits into what you were just saying. This comes from Phil, who he might be thinking about doing some kind of something on the internet himself. I don't know, because he's just curious about your business model, because he goes to your site and doesn't see advertising
for
donations and stuff. Is it through advertising and other revenue sources like that?
And donations. And I have discount gold and silver on my website, and I'm not trying to plug her, but it took me a year and a half to find somebody that I wouldn't bring me shame. And what I told her was, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you this how to buy gold and silver and give you a run on the side. If I get calls from people saying that you've screwed them, I don't care whether you did or didn't. But if I start getting complaints, you're done. I'm going to send your money back, and I'm going to take you off the site.
Right.
And I haven't had a single complaint.
Right. I'm saying.
I had a lot of people that wanted to be on my site that I wouldn't put on because, you know, they've got pled guilty to felony violations and, you know, other stuff. But there's a lot of people that they do stuff that I don't, you know. I have people like, hey, I want to do getaways in Panama. I want to do getaways. And no, you know, they should leave the country. No, hell no, I'm not going to be a part of that.
Yeah,
I don't have any idea. I would never tell people to take their wealth, especially at this time, and leave the country. Well, especially not with Donald Trump, who's we're not going to get the same tyranny that we were going to get with Hillary. Oh my gosh, she was going to be full on tyranny. You know, I talked about, you know, limits on the Second Amendment, First Amendment, and packing the court full of weasels. So,
right.
Anyway, my business model. Yes, I have some donations, which helps me. I have, you know, like in the 50s and 60s, you know, where how do they have free TV? I have Google ads, which I have no control over.
Right.
And then I have a sponsor, on the site. So yes, and I don't have a lot of debt. So yes,
it works.
Yes, that's how I make money.
All right, one last emailed question, and then we'll get to the ones in queue. And I think this is an interesting idea. You know, the ratings obviously are down across the board, and newspaper subscriptions are down. And I mean, and nobody, very few people trust mainstream media anymore, but they keep on chugging. And so JQuest's question is, what is the likelihood that maybe there is, buried in the a black budget of the government, some type of deep state funding for propaganda purposes that's keeping places like the New York Times afloat?
Propaganda became legal a couple of years ago with a passage of an NDAA. The government can do propaganda, okay? But really, these guys are arms of their functioning as arms of the Democratic Party for sure, because they colluded.
Yeah.
It's evidence is stunning and overwhelming and undeniable.
Do you think they're funded by the government?
That's getting into deep state thinking. So right. I don't know. But I'll tell you, Reuters, if that was the case, Reuters wouldn't have had to just lay off 2,000 people. Now you think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
And you think about the stunning loss of profits at the New York Times. Okay. Stunning. 95% down in the third quarter. Right.
Yeah.
Now, then you think about the time in which that happened. This in broadcasting and even print, but especially broadcasting. Then all these companies have their own little video websites, and they have their YouTube, and they have their, you know, commercials they're running in the video and whatever. But you lived for election years, so you know 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016. Those are good years. You live for presidential election years every 4 years, and you really want a highly contested. Everybody's into presidential election. We had the best president. This is better than Carter Reagan, the movie star, and the was he a West Point grad? So this was better. He was a sitting president with Reagan, right? So you would think Carter against Reagan. And so what a matchup. And this is the matchup of matchup. The first female presidential candidate. Criminal. They put a criminal up. I don't believe it. Should have ran Elizabeth Warren if they wanted a woman. I mean, I don't agree with her policies, but she don't have a big bag of dirt to drag other than she's, you know, Liawatha. But but that's nothing compared to what Hillary Clinton did. I mean, still what? I mean, but anyway, so you think about the stunning loss, just to use the New York Times, in a presidential election year where the ratings are like an audience equal to the size of the World Series, the seventh game.
Yeah.
And they're losing money. Oh, my God. They're not losing money because they're breaking too many stories and getting too many clicks.
Yeah.
That means that people are shutting them. Yeah. Same thing with the USA Today. In November of 2015, their share price was $16.09 a share. In early November of 2000, now they've gone up since then, of 2016, a few weeks ago, they were $7.45. Their share price got cut in half. Now it's up to like $9, but they're still off 80%.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this, the layoffs in mainstream media, barring that they don't have black box, black funding, I don't know. But the layoffs are going to be stunning. You can't cut your share price in half. You can't lose, have a 95% revenue hit like at the New York Times, which is what prompted that thing that the New York Times came out, and I'm going to preview my little my little wrap up here coming up. Oh shoot, they didn't print it off. They made a big mea culpa, right, and said that we're going to do real good reporting now. We're going to be honest reporting, the New York Times. And then at the end, like Baghdad Bob would do, but we covered the two candidates fairly in this election. Whoa! The biggest story that you've had since at least the 80s and the biggest story of the year that has to be, if you said, what's the biggest story of 2016? What would that be? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Trump winning? Really?
No doubt about it.
We covered the candidates fairly. You covered the candidates fairly? You liars. So you come out and say, the New York Times, that you're going to – we're going to go back to doing honest and fair reporting. But we cover the candidates fairly. You liars!
Right. Greg, I've got
The layoffs are going to be stunning, and I don't think there's a black budget. Because you watch, when the layoffs start happening, they already laid off 2,000 at Reuters. And this is in a year where they ought to be flush with cash. They ought to be having the fattest Christmas party they've ever had. But that's not what's happening.
Right. All right. I've got about, like I said, boy, they're piling up. There's at least 12 questions here, and you're being very generous with your time, but we're about a half hour in, so I better get to these. So I'll just lay them all on you, and you can take them wherever you want to go. First comes from Ted. Greg, do you think Soros should be locked up for funding domestic terrorism?
Actually, yes. What he's doing is funding violence, and yes, I think they should be investigated, and if they can nail him, they should issue arrest warrants for him. Yes, he should be prosecuted for, and this is not just civilly, I'm talking criminally. He should be prosecuted.
He'd like you to mention
that. He's evil. Go ahead.
Ted would like you to mention that more in your productions then. Anyway, that was the last part of what he said, if you do agree with that. All right, Seamus.
I do agree with it.
Seamus says, I've followed your work for years, and I respect what you do. Some of your guests can be labeled doom porn peddlers, though. Can alt media be taken seriously when individuals such as Bull Polney are given a platform?
Well, Bull Polney called the gold intermediate high at 10:45 back in December, and he has a track record that he has for his people. So nobody's going to be 100%, but listen – doom porn, I mean, we doubled our national debt in the last 8 years, and Democrats and Republicans both had a big hand in that. So that's not doom porn, that's doom facts.
Yeah.
We're going to have serious, serious downside. And listen, we're talking about doom porn. What's dooming is the lack of knowledge. I mean, we had this vault up in the gold price on election night.
Right.
And then over the next 3 days, according to Rob Kirby, they dumped 8,000 tons onto the market, paper gold contracts. Mm-hmm. They didn't even cover that in the mainstream press. 8,000 tons, that's an enormous intervention. 8,000 tons is the holding of the United States of America. 8,200 metric tons is supposedly what we hold. I don't want to get into a debate on whether we hold it or not, but that's the official holding. So that's a huge dump, and that's not even reported that they did a huge manipulation. That's not doom porn. That's doom fact. If they're having, and they only got it to go down 70 or 80 bucks. I mean, think about this. They dumped 8,000 tons of paper contracts on the equivalent of 8,000 tons of gold and paper onto the market. They only got it to go down 80 bucks. Woo! That's a strong market.
All right. Your next question comes from Joe, who says, Greg, we know there are lots of everyday people who are deceived out there, but in your experience, are those working in the mainstream media also self-deceived Kool-Aid drinkers? And how many know that they're actually involved in lies and propaganda?
Well, let's just start with Leslie Stahl, who, would ask the phony questions and didn't do her homework with the president, right? When you start paying somebody $5, $6, $7 million a year, they can ignore a lot. And they don't put out a memo that says, hey, preach the company line. They just get rid of people like me.
Right.
They don't have people like me. I had a friend of mine, I was telling him, he was in the media for years. His name is Gary Matsumoto, actually. He works for China Television. He said, I remember this is back in 2007 and early 2008, I said, the market's going to crash and all the banks were in trouble. And subprime wasn't going to be contained. He says, I remember when you were saying that on the air. I thought, oh, you're not going to be long. You're not going to be on the air long. Well, I didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
And you can go on my site in the About section. You can see me talking one of my stories. I said it was a reoccurring theme. I mean, here we have, here we have the on the board of Citigroup is the guy that's running Time Warner. And I'm on the air saying all the banks are in trouble.
Yeah.
And so are these people deceived? Well, they're not deceived. They're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right.
They hire a certain type of person at the networks who will preach the company line. But it's in their interest. You know, you start paying a correspondent $300,000 a year to wink, wink, nod, nod. Here's what we want from you. And guess what? That's what you get.
Yeah.
They're going to protect their paycheck.
Let me get you to the next question. This one's from Larry, and I want to preface this with my own thoughts because I remember in the election of 1988, which I remember you remember very well, which I know you remember very well because it was the first Bush following Reagan. And a lot of folks, I remember people saying at the time, well, the only reason Bush won is they want the market's going to crash after 8 years of Reagan, and everybody wants to hang it on the Republicans so that the Democrats can take over. Now, the Democrats did take over in 92, but I think Bush won because Dukakis was such a dork, just like Trump might have won just because Hillary was such an awful candidate. So with that as a preface, Larry's question is, will the globalists let the market drop after Trump is sworn in?
That's what some people think, but they may not have any choice. I mean, if you look at the bond market is absolutely going crazy right now. I know you know this because I talked about it with Mannarino the other day. He thinks it'll stabilize, but there's no guarantee it'll stabilize. I mean, there's no absolute guarantee. It's still at 2.23% today. And when you think about it, that it was at back in, I don't know, end of July, it was something like 1.6%. And now it's 2.3. That's a huge move in a 4 months. That's a huge move.
Yep.
And so I had Michael Krieger on, and Michael, I think it's going to crash anyway, no matter what. So I think it's going to crash anyway. And they know it. They would rather have the tyranny of Hillary Clinton in the crash than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. They wanted their own, you know, Skeletor evil ship captain as the ship was hitting the rocks. They don't want a captain that's going to try to navigate and cut the debt and do who knows what he might do. That would be pro-American, incidentally. It would be America first. He talked about cutting the debt. He talked about reorganizing the debt, and then he stopped talking about that. I don't know if you guys realize that, but you know, several months ago, I wanted to interview him. I couldn't get him, but he was talking about cutting the debt, and then whoop, each day on that, he stopped doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what would he do in a real crisis? Would he move to cut the debt? And I say, yeah, he may. Yeah. So I think the crash is coming anyway. There are some people like Rob Kirby who just came out and said the globalists are going to crash the debt. They're going to make sure he gets the blame for it. But that's going to be another hard thing to psyop. And the reason why is because you're going to have the guy take office and the whole market crash and they're going to blame him. What? I mean, so the previous 8 years of doubling the debt isn't going to make a difference. I mean, people aren't going to come out and say, well, you know, the Obama administration and the Republicans and the Democrats doubled the national debt in 8 years. What took us 200 and something years to get to, we doubled that in 8 years. And then there's all these $9 trillion missing, according to the Inspector General report, you know, out of the Defense Department, all this missing money. It's trillions.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm sitting.
So are they going to use the crash to their advantage? Yes. What they're going to try to do before that, though, they're going to, you know, paint, you know, Bannon as an anti-Semite and Trump supporters as much of, you know, low education rednecks. They're going to double down on that. But, you know, people aren't buying their not only are they not buying their message, hell, they're selling their stocks.
With that in mind, and that, I think that's an excellent point because in this idea that we're going to hang the crash on Trump, but you know, the Democrats and the progressives and the media all have this idea, you never let a crisis go to waste. And so you'd think if the crisis was going to happen, they would want to have their person in place.
Correct.
And so that maybe that theory doesn't hold much water. Okay, next question is from.
No matter what, we're getting a crash. So that, yeah. Everybody that's got two, everybody that I know, everybody, even Catherine Austin Fitz, who for the longest time says they're going to slow burn this thing. She was right, but she's now like, yeah, well, slow burn's going to do. We're going to have lettuce hit the fan pretty soon.
All right.
So next question. Two. I mean, if the bond market, we have all this negative interest rate bonds, and you know all about this. And, you know, I mean, my God, we went from 1.6 in July
1.4.
to 2.3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, 2.23. Holy smokes. I mean, I'm even a market guy, and I know that's a big percentage move.
It is.
What's going to happen to all this debt that they issued at, you know, a tenth of a percent, two-tenths of a percent, a 0%, right. You know, a percent? What are they going to do with all this debt?
How does that look on the balance sheet?
They're going to get killed.
Yeah. All right. Boeing, somebody named Boeing wants to know. Just your business plans. Do you think USA Watchdog is going to expand beyond just you and, you know, like a big growing alternative media outlet?
I don't know. You know what I am just happy to not work for somebody. I'm happy that I got a pretty good footprint, not as big as other some people. I mean, I'm not InfoWars, and which I like those guys, incidentally. And I'm not, you know, Breitbart, and I like them too, incidentally. But I'm just picking them up and putting them down. I mean, I get to do what I want to do. Nobody walks in my office and tells me to tone it down. And I've got my business partner, who's my wife, and I've got a consultant in New York who's been excellent. And this is part of the reason why I did as well as I did. I had a real internet consultant. I mean, this guy started when he was 20, back when they were saying, how do we get people to come to our site? And they didn't even call it, you know, search engine optimization.
Right.
And he liked my project, and I really should be paying him way more than I'm paying. He's worked for Boeing, and he's worked for Merck, and he's worked for a millionaire matchmaker. He's worked for a ton of people, but he just likes my project. I'm blessed that he does. His name is Hayden Payson. Brilliant guy. Brilliant guy. He won't say he's brilliant. He's the kind of guy that won't say he's brilliant, but he's brilliant. His name is Hayden Payson. H-A-J-E-N Payson. But anyway, am I going to get bigger? I hope so. But at the moment right now, I'm really happy right where I am.
Fair enough. All right. Michael wants to know, in your mainstream media experience, what was the biggest story you ever worked on and why?
I'll tell you two stories that I worked on. One of them was depleted uranium munitions. And I had to read and read and read on what depleted uranium munitions was, because what they want to tell you is that it's depleted, and what it's depleted of is its energy. Mm-hmm. It's not depleted of its hazard. And it took me a long time to put it together. It was very hard to get it past the people at CNN. They ultimately ran it, but they kind of buried it. I basically confronted one of the top people in the Pentagon. Well, you've been in the Pentagon, you could drive a car through the Pentagon at 40 miles an hour. I'm not kidding you. It's huge. The hallways are probably as wide as a normal two-lane street. They're huge. Anyway, that was a big story, which may have led to by getting, you know, pushed out at CNN because they couldn't have somebody figuring out. And let me tell you, depleted uranium, it's a beautiful weapon. And it took me weeks to boil this down. And it's a rod of metal that's twice as heavy as lead, that when you fire out of a cannon, it turns pyrophoric. It catches on fire. It's a molten rod of something twice as heavy as lead.
God.
Nothing, and I say nothing, can stop it. It'll go through this building and that building and that building and that building and that building, and probably will lose energy. And it'll go through that car, that car, that car, that car. It'll go through a foot of solid steel. Okay? It's a wonderful weapon. It just has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, and it has a radius of about 50 meters around every target it hits, splattered with radioactive heavy metal dust that if you breathe in, you'll have forever, and it will cause you birth defects and all kinds of other stuff. There, I said it.
Yikes.
So that was one story. Here's a story that I didn't get on the air. Okay, here's the other story that I didn't get on the air. I'm out in Colorado. I'm doing a story. The 9/11 hits. I'm driving across. I never see any of the video. I'm driving across the country. Take 2 days. My wife's in New York, so I'm freaking out. I'm going to get my ass home no matter what. They ground all the airplanes. I can't fly.
Right.
So I drive home. I'm listening to the radio the whole time. I'm thinking to myself, and it hits me, oh, my God, that's got to be a supervillain. Talking about the powder and the dust and all this stuff. It's got to be a supervillain. All the asbestos and everything else. And I'm thinking I'm going to get set down to lower Manhattan where the World Trade Center burned for 1,000 hours. You know, they expected all these people to come in, and only about a dozen people came into the hospitals down there. Either you died or you got out. Yeah, there were some stories of people trapped in the stairwell and stuff. That was rare. Okay, either you died or you got out. So the hazard was for the people on the pile. Remember, it burned for 1,000. I got back to New York, it was burning, still burning. So I'm running around town going to Janovic Hardware looking for respirators. And I'm talking about respirators good to 5 microns, something you could paint a car in. And I'm running around because I think I'm going to get set down. Then I come up with this idea. I thought, oh, my God, it must be a super fun. So I call over to Caesar Sinai Medical Center, and I find the top occupational hazard MD medical doctor at Caesar Sinai Hospital. Now, when you do stories at the network, they're akin to doing mini movies. They're akin because you spend $10,000, you have travel budget, you have to hire crews, rent equipment, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how the networks work, right? I mean, there were stories I did for $20,000. There, you know, there's, you know, you have to, if you just do an interview satellite, you have to hire a crew. In my day, you'd hire a crew, you didn't do Skype. You hire a crew, they set up a room, they get a spend time on the satellite, blah, blah, blah. So when you did a story, not that you were going to put words in anybody's mouth. No, but you're going to spend all this money. Damn, you better know what the story is. So I ask him the story, and I had to write this up for my bosses because I'm going to, you know, it's an in-town story, so it's going to be relatively cheap to some of the stuff I did when I flew over the country. And so I call up this doctor and say, well, what about that pile down there? What's going on? He says, oh, my God, that's terrible. It's a Superfund site. That's where I got the thing. That's a Superfund site. Yes. Oh, yes. There's PCBs. There's 30 floors of asbestos. I said, 30? He said, yeah, 30 floors of asbestos. You know, they cut that off. My mentor discovered that asbestos caused cancer. This is the level of people I got on the phone. So there's only 30 floors in Tower 1 of asbestos. He says, oh, that's powdered all over the place. He says, there's PCBs, there's heavy metals, there's lead, there's you name it, it's down there. Everybody, then here's the come phrase, everybody down there ought to have a full hazmat suit on, or at least a respirator. Excuse me? He says, oh, yeah, everybody on that pile ought to have a respirator. At the very least, they ought to have a whole mass hazmat suit. I said, how much of a radius? He goes, oh, you know, 20 blocks. In New York City, 20 blocks is a mile. That's what 20 blocks is. So if you look, you can see, you know, from, you know, Houston up to 20th, that's a mile. From 20th to 40th to Times Square, that's another mile. It's 2 miles, right?
Right.
So I lived about 4 miles north of that. So 1 mile radius, holy shit, guess what that included? Wall Street.
Yeah.
So I say to him, will you say that on camera? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll say that on camera. Oh, no doubt. Everybody ought to have at least a respirator. I mean, something good to 5 microns. I mean, what I had when I went to the hardware store and picked up. And so I go to my bosses and say, hey, we need to go to the mayor. Giuliani was the mayor at the time. And this wasn't a slam on him. I didn't know this. There's no way he could have known that. There's no way Giuliani could have known this. But if you'd have gone to him and say, hey, the top occupational hazard guy says everybody ought to have a respirator. This is going to burn. This is burning. And, you know, Mr. Mayor, we need to get respirators in here. And Christy Todd Whitman surely should have known that, who was the former governor of New Jersey and the head of the EPA, who put all the snifters up on the west side of Lower Manhattan, west side. The wind blows from the west to the east in Lower Manhattan. And so those snifters were like, oh, the air is clean. No, it was not, not on the pile. They wouldn't let me do that story.
How about that?
They shined me on. What happened to all the cadaver dogs? Well, they died in a year, year and a half. What happened to all the people who were on that pile?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it is.
That was the biggest story I never did that should have been done.
All right.
Would have saved a lot of people.
Sure would have.
Anyway, next question.
All right. And again, we're now about 45 minutes, so I better move things along a little bit.
Okay, I'll have much shorter answers.
Info wants
people
to
know. People know I'm not being mean to them.
That's all right. That's okay. Info wants to know, are there any mainstream media anchors, journalists, or correspondents that you still respect? Which ones have sacrificed their integrity the least?
I'm sorry, but they stink.
Yeah.
I did get some truth out of what's his name, who's not even a journalist. Chris Matthews said that Donald Trump exploited the you know, that we didn't have e-verify and we didn't have all that, and he said, I don't think it's racist. but I don't like any of them. They're working there. They're going to protect their paycheck. They're well, I'll tell you what. There's some on Fox. There's Hannity, who's a noted, and he brings this out. He says he doesn't pass himself off as a journalist. So I know when I see him, I'm not going to get somebody passing themselves off as a journalist. Yeah. Rachel Maddow tries to pass herself off as some damn journalist, and she is not.
Right.
Hannity will tell you, hey, listen, I'm a conservative, so here's my point of view. Got it. Good. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
I like Hannity. I like, if you turn to journalist, Bill O'Reilly, although he leaves out a lot of stuff, he's pretty old school. I think Kennedy wasn't shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. I think it's retarded. But anyway, I like Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs, I think, lost his job at CNN. They pushed him out because he was pitching this thing on, you know, this illegal alien thing.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
While I was there, my last year or two I was there, they put out a memo at CNN saying, we no longer want to call illegal aliens, which is, incidentally, that's what they are. We don't want to call them illegal aliens. When you write a story, we want to call them undocumented. This is a memo from CNN.
Right.
Undocumented.
What year was that, Greg?
That was I want to say it's 07, 06. They put out a memo. 07, 08, something like that. They put out a memo saying, we'll no longer use illegal alien, the term illegal alien. When you write something, it'll be undocumented. So this is management.
Yeah.
So I don't – very few. Very, very few – people that I Rick Santelli, I don't think he sold his soul. I'm surprised they'd leave him on at CNBC, actually.
Yeah.
Maria Bartiromo just ripped. I couldn't believe it. She just ripped Gruber, the liar from MIT, over the Obamacare thing. I couldn't believe it because she's a member of Council on Foreign Relations. But yeah, very few on the mainstream press. Next.
How about there's this term that's bandied about called the Operation Mockingbird. From the CIA to directly influence the media.
I believe that's true.
Joe wants to know if you've ever run into that or rumors of this when you were with the mainstream media.
Yes. Yes, I had a good friend of mine who was a very good colleague and friend of mine. I don't want to name him. But he said there are people from the CIA that worked at some of the networks they were controlling, and they like to control the investigative branch of things. Now, and I never had any of those people that overseeing me, which is, you know, why my contract was not renewed. I didn't have any dirt. I don't have any intern scams. I don't have any stealing or robbing or taking bribes or letting people have editorial control over my stories like they did at the New York Times.
Right.
So yes, are those, have I heard those? Have I heard that? Yes. Do I think it's true? Yes.
There you go. All right. Follow up question from Joe. When in your career did you first take that red pill?
I always took the red pill. I mean, they hired me at Good Morning America to do – I was doing investigative stuff, and I was – you know, I was just on Hagman & Hagman, and they said, are you ashamed of your time? No. I look at my resume. Look, I was doing depleted uranium munitions. You know, the Army was pissed about that. You know, I had their own training video. I mean, you should see the training video where they're out in the desert, and they have like a T-72 tank. And they have this, you know, you ever see this Bradley fighting vehicle with that little gun? Well, they were shooting depleted uranium rounds, 25-millimeter rounds. I think, well, what could they do with that? Oh, my gosh. Remember, that's a molten rod of lead burning at 4,000 degrees centigrade. I think it's centigrade or Fahrenheit. That's a molten rod of lead. And it would go, you could see the video, it'd go through one side of it, go into the tank, and you could see the dust pop up on the other side of the tank. It would aspirate everybody inside
just
the tank.
Pulls everything,
just one little shot, boom, right through the tank.
So
I had always taken the red pill, which is why I was doing the financial stuff at my final days at CNN. I was not going to act surprised. I thought there was a huge problem with a subprime, which not going to be contained. I said, this isn't about my about section of the on the site. I said that the mortgage thing was fraud. It wasn't robo signing. It was fraud. It was forgery, perjury, and fraud on the court. It was all that, which is why they didn't renew my. They didn't want somebody figuring it out. I mean, silly me. I thought I was supposed to be working for the public and exposing things they needed to know. Oh no, that's not what I was supposed to do. I'm supposed to act surprised when it all blows up.
Yeah.
I never took the blue pill.
I'm going to combine two questions into one, and then that will just leave us one more. But it's the idea that the Democrats and the elitist Republicans obviously don't support Trump. Do you think, one, there was some voter fraud by those parties to at least try to win the election, but also try to win the popular vote so they could limit his mandate? And then also, do you think they'll all work together to try to roadblock anything that Trump wants to do in Congress?
Do they think they'll try to roadblock? Yes. However, with the immigration thing, number one, all he has to do is say, you know, all those executive orders that my predecessor Obama signed, yeah, they're done, gone, poof, bye, they're gone. All the stuff he did with the EPA, all the executive orders, poof, poof, gone, 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 gone. He doesn't need Congress for that.
Right.
So yes, will they try to roadblock him? Yes. They won't be able to roadblock him on the Supreme Court decisions. I mean, I'm sure they'll filibuster in the Senate and whatever, but you know, ultimately he'll have his way. That said, you know, the other thing is, will they put people in the White House? Yes, they'll try to put people in the White House. I don't know if I like Rince Priebus being in there, but I understand why he's the chief of staff, which is the, I don't know, one of the most powerful positions in any administration. Why? Because he controls the president's schedule.
Right.
That said, though, I understand why he has it, because he knows all the Republicans that which he's going to have to work with.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a kind of a, you know, Donald Trump is not going to get everything he wants, and he knows that. But he's going to get some of what he wants, and that's better than getting all of the tyranny of Hillary any day of the week.
Yeah. All right. To that end, the last question from Sanford. I just want you to speculate what might happen to Hillary. Do you think a new attorney general will reopen the investigation and the emails? You know, Trump said in that interview with Leslie Stahl, you know, they're nice people. Maybe we ought to just, you know, leave them alone. I mean, what do you think is going to happen with that?
I don't know how big it is. Listen, this whole Clinton Foundation thing, which is to forget the emails. The emails are only to cover the fact she was taking treasonous bribes given in the form of donations to the Clinton Foundation. Okay, the big story was, still always is, and always will be the fraudulent charity fraud, the cover of the multi-billion dollar cover of the Clinton Foundation. So I don't know. I mean, this is big. This has got a lot of Republicans, and this is my thing. All the Republicans, I can't support Trump. Criminal crony. There's a crony class. There's the criminal crony class. All these people. And then it was on both the Republican and the Democrat side. These are the criminal crony class.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Republicans involved in this Clinton Foundation in some way, shape, or form. That
sure.
is for damn sure. It's not just the emails. The emails were a cover so they could cover the fact she was taking criminal bribes to get donations to the Clinton Foundation. It's the Clinton Foundation. So I don't know. It depends on how hard, you know, I don't know. That may uncover so many layers of the onion just that may be too much for Trump to uncover. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I do not know. It's going to be dangerous for Trump, though, because of so many. It's not just her by herself, her and Bill and Chelsea. You don't have that big of a multi-billion dollar fraud without a lot of other players.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in one last question. Just came in from John, and then we'll get to the final four. We mentioned earlier, Hillary with her regal purple color in her concession speech.
Rebranding,
Bill,
yes.
Bill wearing a
She's
purple
rebranding
tie.
To be in the middle.
Yeah.
Not red, not blue, purple.
Is it that, or is it a nod to Soros' globalist agenda? What do you think? And it wasn't it wasn't by accident.
That would be speculation on my part. I think it's rebranding. I think it's that's what I think it is. I think it's them trying to rebrand themselves in some way, shape, or form. To look like they're in the middle. I mean, they're just I hate to say this, but the Democrat Party, well, and to the some extent the Republican Party, but the Democrat Party, a party of liars and cheaters. I mean, the exposure from WikiLeaks, the exposure of Project Veritas, liars, cheaters, dirty tricks. So they got an image problem, and they got an image problem with over half their voters.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know what the deal. The best thing for the Democratic Party, in my opinion, is for the Clintons to go away.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican either.
Well, all right.
So I don't know what it is. I think it's a rebranding thing. It's not an accident that Bill had a purple tie on. She had her purple clothes on. She's a horrible person to try to hang any kind of image on. I mean, horrible.
Well,
I don't know.
And that wouldn't be the first time. I remember back in the day, remember the Pretty in Pink interview she gave at the height of the Rose Law Firm and all of the Whitewater stuff? You know, she definitely tries to, that's a coordinated thing that she's done for decades now. So that wouldn't, so I think you're probably right.
Well, obviously it didn't work. And then the other thing is voter fraud. There's already out, according to one report, there were at least 3 million illegal aliens voting. Yeah. There's another report, this is on InfoWars, that one of the analysts there says she stole five states. So we got six states. She stole five of them. That's what they. But I think there was massive voter fraud. That is clear. They were planning it. They were doing it. It was exposed on Project Veritas.
Right.
They were doing voter fraud. They exposed the metrics and the mechanics of the voter fraud. So do I think they didn't do what they said they were going to do and was exposed on hidden camera? They did it. So yes, there was voter fraud. No, without question. By their own words, their own paid shills that were doing it, that was caught on camera. Yes, voter fraud.
Well, my friend, I think we've reached the end of the road. I think we could probably keep going for at least another hour, but it has been a little over an hour, so we probably better call an end to the proceedings for now. But I'd sure love to have you back sometime and go even deeper into some of these topics. In the meantime, though, we have a little tradition here in these A2A webinars that we wrap up with something we call the Final Four, which is just four kind of short, quick questions you can usually answer with just a word or a sentence, but you know, not necessarily related to everything else that we've talked about. So if you're ready, can I hit you with them?
Hit me.
All right. Number one, will Trump end up serving the full 4 years of his term?
Yes.
Okay. When you turn on the news, which network do you watch? That's number two.
I watch them all. I want to see what they're all saying.
But is there one that you trust more than any other?
I'll say Fox, but I watch them all.
Yeah. Well,
so I do the. I couldn't believe that Chris Matthews thing saying that he hit on the illegal immigration, and he says, and no, I don't think it's racist. That's what Chris Matthews said. I couldn't believe he said it. I saw him say it.
All right. Number three, Cam Newton, punk or stud?
He's a stud. Come on.
He said, no, I'm just curious as to what you think, given where you live. All right. And lastly, it's almost time for Thanksgiving. Are you taking some of the sweet potatoes, or are you going to pass?
I hate sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it's always a polarizing question.
No.
You're going to go right past. You're going to go right past those candied yams, huh?
Yes, I hate that crap.
All right, fair enough.
I like actually, when we were kids, we always had ham. My dad hated turkey because it was too damn dry. So he'd have a ham. He'd have the pineapple rings and the maraschino cherry stuck in a toothpick in the middle all over the thing. It was like a piece of work. My dad loved ham. And I was like, damn, this is good. You're right. Ham good. Ham good. Oink, oink. Although I do like turkey.
You've grown to appreciate it. You ever deep fry a turkey?
Yes. They're fabulous.
It is. It's the best way to do it, man. I had to be convinced that it was good, and man, it is absolutely fabulous, and it's done like in 45 minutes. You don't have to jack it and watch it all day. But anyway, Greg, thank you. This has just been great fun, and like I said, I if you'd be willing, hopefully we can do this again maybe sometime in 2017 and get your thoughts on how things are turning out for Trump so far.
Sure thing, and I really appreciate you helping me out in the past. I've called you in a tight squeeze, and you're a brilliant guy, and you always got something to say, and I'm sure you do your subscribers and the people that follow you justice. So thank you for having me on.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, and everybody out there listening, thank you for listening, and we'll do this again next week.